Good evening and welcome to Tube Talk, kiddos. Show that was, folks, even though Jack Lord was about 3'6" with lifts. Hawaii 5-0 coming to you in living color over that big RCA color TV. Oh boy, I remember when we all went down to the one kid's house who had color TV. Remember that? Maybe you remember this.
Metallic hole. The moon
on a night like
in
this,
all its splendor.
We go petting in the park.
Your kiss,
all the way I
so
like it.
So very
tender. I'm yours.
The word
spoken as it came from
will
me.
You surrender?
Enjoying the music on a warm summer's night here on Tube Talk. My name is Paul Burish, your AirSats DJ host, master of ceremonies here. Thanks for coming on board tonight. I'm getting sentimental over you. Tommy Dorsey from 1936. And a little more Tommy Dorsey there. Vocal by Jack Leonard, 1937. Hey, you know, it's coming up, guys. Radio Fest, and it's big, and it's coming soon. You can still get there July 31st through Saturday, August 2nd. You've got to be there if you're in the Midwest. It's the big radio event of the year. For more information, it's www.antique-radio.org. Google up the Antique Radio Club of Illinois. You'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you checked out Radio Fest. For those interested in getting into the hobby out there, what an entree. What a great thing to have access to. And then a lot of hard work by a lot of guys and gals, and they pull it off year after year. So we're praying and hoping for good weather. Be nice to get out there. So get out and check it out. Well, you know, summertime's supposed to be a little fun, and let's have a few laughs tonight, shall we? Bob Newhart was born in 1929. He is a familiar face and voice to many of us. But before he made the TV shows and before Emily Howard and Mr. Carlin, there was the button-down world of Bob Newhart. And it was a smash comedy hit on vinyl, and I think it just went right up there on Billboard. It was the first comedy record to make it up there. It just shot up to number one. And I guess I like him for a few reasons. And I'd have to say, sort of that droll Midwestern everyman feel that he gives to a lot of his routines. And he's a clean comic, as they say. You know, he doesn't dabble in profanities. And you know, he's not one of these guys, you know, while he'll make some jokes about people, he's not a mean guy. He's not an insulter. He's not out to bully or to attack people and get laughs at their expense. Yeah, so Jack Benny was one of his influences, I guess. And, you know, that everyman type persona that he conveyed with his voice is just something that I find very easy to relate to. And his comedy translates perfectly to radio, you know, especially the famous phone call routines and the roles where we never hear the other party involved in the discussion, just Bob. And, you know, it creates a theater of the mind experience, something that just works very, very well on radio. So Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's go check out the driving school.
As I said, there was a thing in the paper tonight about documentaries, and I've had an idea for a long time for what I think is a wonderful documentary, which has everything. For instance, you go to work, you come home at night, and you never really think about it. It's mechanical, it's routine. But there are a group of men who every day, when they go to work, never know if that night they'll return, because they face death in 100 different ways. And I'm talking about America's driving instructors. And I'd like to present the first episode in the new TV series called The Driving Instructor. Now, I'd like to have you picture, if you would. This is a car. I'm the driving instructor, and seated next to me is a woman driver. How do you do? You're Mrs. Webb, is that right? Oh, I see you've had one lesson already. Who is the instructor on that, Mrs. Webb? Mr. Adams. I'm sorry, here it is, Mr. Adams. Just let me read ahead and kind of familiarize myself with the case. How fast were you going when Mr. Adams jumped from the car? 75. And where was that? In your driveway. How far had Mr. Adams gotten in the lesson? Backing out. I see you were backing out at 75, and that's when he jumped. Did he cover starting the car and the other way of stopping? What's the other way of stopping? Throwing it in reverse. That's it. Oh, that would do it. You're right. That would do it. All right. You want to start the car? Mrs. Webb, you just turned on the lights. You want to start the car? They all look alike, don't they? I don't know why they design them that way. All right, let's pull out into traffic. Now, what's the first thing we're going to do before we pull out into traffic? What did Mr. Adams do before he let you pull out into traffic? Well, I mean, besides praying, let's say. No, what I had in mind was checking the rearview mirror. You see, we always want to check the rear... Don't pull out! please don't cry. I'm sorry. But there was this bus, Mrs. Webb. All right. The lane is clear now. You want to pull out? Oh, no, that wasn't bad at all. You might try it a little slower next time. All right, let's get up a bit more speed and gradually ease it into second. Well, I didn't want to cover reverse this early, but as long as you've shifted into it, of course you're nervous. I'm nervous. I'm not just saying that. I'm really very nervous. Well, just don't pay any attention to their honking. You're doing fine. You're not blocking anyone's lane. No, as long as you're here on the safety island, you're not blocking anyone's lane. All right, you want to start the car? While you're turning the lights off, why don't you turn off the heater? All right, there we are. Let's get up a bit of speed. That's the way. Now, let's practice some turns. The important thing on turns is not to make them too sharp. Just kind of make a gradual... Oh, now that was fine. That was a wonderful turn. It's hard for me to believe you only had two lessons after you make a turn like... Are you sure you haven't had more now? Well, I find that very difficult to believe. One little thing. This is a one-way street. Well, no, actually, it was partially my fault, you see, but you were in the left-hand lane, and you were signaling left, and I just more or less assumed you were going to turn left. same to you, fella. All No, I don't know what he said, Mrs. Webb. All right, let's pull into the alley up there and practice a little alley driving. This is something a lot of the schools leave out that we think is pretty. You're going too fast, Mrs. Webb. You're up around 60, and it's kind of a sharp turn there. All right, let's just drive down the alley. That's the way. Mrs. Webb, maybe we better stop here. Well, I don't think you're going to make it between the truck and the building. Mrs. Webb? I really didn't think you were going to make it. That just shows you we can be wrong, too. No, I'll get out on your side. That's all right. Mrs. Webb, maybe it might be a good idea if we went over to the driving area. They have a student driver area over a few blocks away, and maybe traffic throws you. Maybe that's the problem. Well, turn here on the street, right, and it's only about a block up. All right, turn right here. Well, now, that was my fault again. You see, I meant the next street. not this man's lawn. Sir? 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 Sir, would you mind turning off the sprinkler, please? For just a minute. Newly seated? Is that right? That's always the way, isn't it? Well, I don't suppose it is so damn funny, is it? All right, Mrs. Webb, you want to back out and get off the man's creeping bend, is that right? Just back out, Mrs. Webb. Thank you very much, sir, for... Oh, now we hit someone, Mrs. Webb. Remember, you're going to watch the rearview mirror. Remember, we covered that. The red light blinded you. The flashing red light blinded you. The flashing red light on the car you hit blinded you. Yes, officer, she was just telling me about it. All right. Mrs. Webb, I'm going to have to go with the officer to the police station. They don't believe it, and they'd like me to describe it. And now the other officer is going to get in the car, and he's going to drive you back to the driving school, and then you're to meet us at the police station. My name is Frank Dexter. Why do you ask? You want to be sure and get me next time?
Purple. What's worrying you? Tell me the story and I'll see what I can do.
Well, I got a new gal that's a real killer diller, but I'm not so sure that she goes for Mr. Miller.
That's nothing to worry about. Man, don't you know how to go about finding out?
No, you tell me, Texas.
If there's a gleam in her eye each time she straightens your tie, you'll know the lady's in love with you. If she can dress for a date without it waiting, you hate, it means the lady's in love with you. And when your friends ask you over to join their table, but she picks a faraway booth for two, well, sir, here's just how it stands. You've got romance on your hands because the lady's in love with you.
How'd you guys like driving school? Anybody have any memories of getting in that car? I mean, I guess driving schools didn't really get very popular until, you know, the 50s or 60s. And ever have any of those white-knuckle moments with the other kids? You know, there was always some kid there who you said, you know, they should wait till they're about 35 because this just isn't working out and I'm afraid for my life. And those were the days when the only distraction was probably the AM radio. You wonder how those guys survived. I always saw those ads on the matchbooks. Dual control cars. Call Taggart's Driving School. And I guess that alleviated some of the anxiety, but nerves of steel. Astronauts and driving school instructors. I don't know how they do it. Well, let's see. Deep Purple Dreams. Larry Clinton and the Boys. B. Wayne on the vocal. And the ladies in love with you. Glenn Miller with Tex Beneke doing the vocals. I hope you enjoy some classic music and some very entertaining comedy bits provided by Mr. Bob Newhart this evening. And you know, before he was a TV psychologist, he was doing ledge psychology.
We have had a problem lately in Chicago with people jumping off ledges. We've always had a problem with people jumping off ledges in Chicago. And so many so that the police department has come out with a regulation and how to handle a guy on a ledge, you know, the patrolman on the beat. The first point is never go out on the ledge in your uniform, you see, because the image of authority may be just the reason they're out there to begin with. Secondly, you should be very casual and never issue any direct commands to him, you see, never antagonize him. And thirdly, and this is really, I suppose, a main point, be completely unsympathetic, because basically they want to be talked out of it. So I would like to present a Chicago policeman under this new regulation. He sees a guy on a ledge, he slips into his sport jacket, and I think he would probably light a cigarette, and then he would walk out on the ledge, something like this. Oh, hi! You thinking about jumping, are you? Your first time, is it? Me? No, no, I'm on my way to work, as a matter of fact. I usually walk around the ledges. I find it kind of helps me unwind. I don't know. You don't happen to be in advertising by any chance, do you? Yeah, I was more than a lucky guess. We got a lot of advertising people out here. which way did you come out, by the way? Did you come out through the window or did you come around the corner of the building? No, the reason I asked, there are two other advertising guys on the southeast corner. I thought maybe... No, as a matter of fact, I didn't get their names. I think one guy had the Edsel account or something like that. You know, you're drawing a hell of a crowd for a weekday.
Yeah, really.
The last couple of years, jumping has really fallen off. I didn't mean it that way. No, really, seriously. You take 1929, for example. You literally couldn't get out on this ledge in 1929. No, we had people lined up in the corridors just waiting to get out on the ledge. Finally, we finally went to that numbered card system they use in the butcher shop. Do you follow suit? Well, you see the cart down there? Yeah, the hot dog stand? That's Sam, the hot dog man. Hi, Sam, how are you? How's the what? I just tell him, hell of a crowd for a Thursday, isn't it? Listen, have you eaten, by the way? Well, don't be so... two, Sam. You want everything on it? Two with everything, Sam. No, to go, Sam, to go. Some fink turned you in. Yeah, you see the guys with the net down there? Yeah, they're firemen. Yeah. I'll give you a little tip there. You might kind of edge your way toward the corner of the building, you see. Then they'll start to follow you. Then you run back here and jump. Well, they get all confused and they start pulling different directions. They'll never make it back in time, believe me. Don't be silly. I'm glad to do it for you. Well, listen, gee, I really ought to be getting to work, you know. I'd love to stay around and catch it. No, don't be silly. Take your own sweet time about it. Yeah, that is a long way down, isn't it? You're kind of chickening out now, huh? That happens quite a bit. You have a certain responsibility to those people down there, though. Some of them been there a half an hour or so, you know. No, it's up to you. I mean, if you don't want to, you know, you don't have to. Well, all right, sure. Well, listen, I'll get in and then you follow me, all right? Okay. Oh, one... Now, where the hell did he go?
Stars have no glory. Yours till the birds fail to sing. Yours to the end of life's story. This pledge to you, dear. I bring yours in the gray of December. Here or on far distant shore, I've never loved anyone the way I love you. How could I, when I was born to be just yours?
quiero yo a ti. Es imposible, mi cielo, tan separados vivir, tan separados vivir.
The Modernaires, Paula Kelly, Glenn Miller leading the orchestra, and how could you get tired of that? And before that, Bob Eberle, Helen O'Connell with Jimmy Dorsey, Yours. You know, Friday night is full of fun and vintage programming here on WRCA 1330 AM. Check out all the neat programs right here on WRCA. You never quite know what you'll get, but you'll get some fun vintage programs. And you'll certainly get Tube Talk. We're here each and every Friday night, 10 p.m. I'm Paul Bursch. We play music. We sometimes share a chuckle. We lots of times chat with people in the vintage radio hobby or radio in general. And we appreciate you listening in and putting up with the whole thing, you know. And yeah, maybe now and then you'll even get to endure one of my more lucid moments. Well, you know, the phone call routine is a Bob Newhart staple, and he does a great job, and he likes to do historical figures too. So let's go see who's calling on the phone.
Milestones are never really recognized right away. It takes 50-60 years before people realize what a achievement it is. Like, take for instance tobacco and the discovery of tobacco. It was discovered by Sir Walter Raleigh, you know, and he sent it over to England from the colonies. And it seems to me the uses of tobacco aren't obvious right off the bat, you know. And I imagine a phone conversation between Sir Walter Raleigh and the head of the West Indies Company in England explaining about the shipment of tobacco that he had just sent over. I think it would go something like this. Yeah, who is it, Murray? Sir Walter Raleigh from the colony. Oh, yeah, put him on, will you? Harry? Yeah, you want to pick up the extension? It's Nutty Wall again. Hi, Walt, baby. How are you, guy? How's everything going? Things are fine here, Walt. Did we get the what? The boatload of turkeys. Yeah, they arrived fine, Walt. As a matter of fact, they're still here, Walt. Yeah, they're wandering all over London, as a matter of fact. See, that's an American holiday, Walt. What is it this time, Walt? You got another winner for us, do you? Tobacco. What's tobacco, Walt? It's a kind of leaf. And you bought 80 tons of it. Let me get this straight now, Walt. You bought 80 tons of leaves? This may come as kind of a surprise to you, Walt, but come fall in England here, we're kind of up to our... It isn't that kind of leaf. What is it? A special food of some kind, is it, Walt? Not exactly. It has a lot of different uses. Like, what are some of the uses, Walt? Are you saying snuff, Walt? What's snuff? You take a pinch of tobacco. And you shove it up your nose. And it makes you sneeze, huh? I imagine it would, Walt, yeah. See, goldenrod seems to do it pretty well over here. It has some other uses, though. You can chew it or put it in a pipe. Or you can shred it up and put it on a piece of paper and roll it up. Don't tell me, Walt. Don't tell me. You stick it in your ear. Between your lips. Then what do you do to it? You set fire to it, Walt. Then what do you do, Walt? You inhale the smoke. You know, Walt, it seems offhand like you can stand in front of your fireplace and have the same thing going for you, you know? See, Walt, we've been a little worried about you, you know. Ever since you put your cape down over that mud, you know. See, Walt, I think you're going to have kind of a tough time selling people on sticking burning leaves in their mouth. It's going very big over there, is it? What's the matter, Walt? You spilt your what? Your coffee. What's coffee, Walt? That's a drink you make out of beans, huh? That's going over very big there, too, is it? A lot of people have the coffee right after their first cigarette in the morning. Huh? Is that what you call a burning leaf, Walt, cigarettes? Uh-huh. I'll tell you what, Walt, why don't you send us a boatload of those beans, too? If you can talk people into putting those burning leaves in their mouth, they got to go for those beans, Walt. And listen, Walt, don't call us, we'll call you. Right, Walt, come on, come on.
What a way to wind up a show, a little Rhapsody in Blue. Thanks for joining us this week. If you would like to reach the show, our email address is tubetalk1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. Check us out at tubetalkclassicradioshow.org. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening in tonight. Hope you had a few laughs and enjoyed the tunes. Almost time to tumble off to bed here. Yes, it is.
Drifting along.
bustling tumbleweed. Cares of the past are behind. Nowhere to go but I'll find. Just where the trails will wind. Drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed.
Nights underneath a prairie moon, I ride alone and sing a tune.
See them tumbling down, pledging their love to the ground. Lonely but free I'll be found, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. Behind, nowhere to go but I'll find, just where the trail will wind, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed. I know when night has gone that a new world's born at dawn.
Small.